More emergency
police. Welcoming you to the Night Watch. Follow me now to where terror begins and life ends. Come with me on the Night Watch.
Waking up time suited Linda. Didn't bother her that she'd a fairly long subway journey to and from work every day. In fact, she was well satisfied with her working life all right. Satisfied until, that is, a couple of months ago when it started happening. When she traveled both ways, it was rush hour. Trains and platforms crammed with hurrying humanity, a strap to hang on if you were lucky, and a lot of pushing and shoving just to fight your way in. That was all right. Didn't bother her. What did was the growing certainty that every night she was being followed into the subway. At first, it was a consciousness, no more, of someone close behind her all the while, just an uneasiness, nothing concrete. She hadn't seen anyone, didn't know who was there amongst the crush. It took a few days of it, of getting off the train and constantly peering around over her shoulder to see if she was being followed home, and finding she wasn't, before she was able to search the city platform, give her mind to identifying the man in the crowd. She knew it was a man, all right, knew. And she found him, about a week after it started. Looked around and knew the man when she saw him. Knew it was him even though he was away down the platform, six or more people between them. And he knew that she'd spotted him. Didn't put him off, though, encouraged him, if anything. Next day, she could really feel him, was certain he was right behind her. It stayed that way for a few days, the man always coming up close behind her on the crowded platform and just standing there close until her train came in. Never followed her on. And on it went. She was too terrified and ashamed to do anything about it, to tell anyone, her boss, police, anyone. She dreaded the end of the day, thought of ways to avoid him. Tried taking the train from another station, didn't help, he was there. Took a later train, and still it was no help. There was no hope of throwing him off. Try as she would, she couldn't bring herself to tell a soul about him. That she couldn't do. But stop him she must. The whole thing was becoming such a horror to her that unless she were to stop it, him, now, she'd have to leave her job, be defeated by him. That's when she turned, swung round in anger and frustration one night on the crowded platform amongst those waiting crowds, and saw him leering at her as her hand thrust out to wipe that smile from his face.
Just who do you think you are?
Ranted, screamed at him.
Who do you think you are?
And he turned away, walked away. Nobody there did anything, of course. Nobody took any note of the brief flare-up. It was private to her and to him. Might have happened in private. When it was over, she was on the train. She was elated, exhilarated, felt free, clean. Sure, she'd driven him away. It wasn't until later that her sense of achievement turned on her, and she started to worry about consequences. What might he do now? Next day, she approached the station full of fear. Fear that turned to an excited relief when her train came and he hadn't appeared. Maybe it's over. Maybe I frightened him away. Didn't really work in her mind, though. She still went to the station worried, fearing his appearance. Feeling the nervousness ease, though, gradually dissipated as time passed and there was no return to the platform. Amongst all that crowded crush, she felt alone again, blessedly alone, still edgy, though, still expecting him to come back to be more abusive in payment for the slap and her counterattack. She almost forgot him. Almost. But her fear came awfully alive the night she stayed on late to help Stocktake. She left, made her way to the station, and found it deserted. It was late, and she was alone down there, completely alone. Doesn't happen often, but it did that night, and she was terrified. All the fears of those past few weeks were back with her and redoubled as she looked up and down the platform, scanning it for the face she feared. Watched the stairs for his arrival. If he was coming, it'd be now. And even as the sense of it, of him, grew on her, she couldn't run, get out of there. Steps coming down, she looked and relaxed. Uniform, transit cop. Reached the bottom, walked towards her. She was impelled to look then, turn to the cop and find in the uniform the leer, the man just standing there. Nowhere to go, no way away. To her he came, nearer, reached out to touch her. That's when she ran, turned and ran wildly, without thought, ran in unreasoning, unconsidered fear, away from him, down the platform, away from the stair, the exit. Hard she ran, as never before, and for her life, she realized then that she was running into nowhere, to the dead end of the platform, and that he must catch her. She couldn't escape. He was so close to her now. She faltered, slipped as she heard the train approaching that might have saved her. Slipped and fell at the very edge of the platform, clutching at its edge to save herself from tumbling under the train. Slipped and fell as he grasped at her, fell under his feet, tripped him, sent him flying over her, over the edge, down onto the track, under that thundering train. Farewell. The Night Watch is produced by Clack Program Production for the Mutual Broadcasting System. What a wonderful, languorous summer it was. How awfully it ended, I'll tell you on the next Night Watch.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.